Well, how's everything been going the last few weeks? Good? Thank you. So I've been up to Lake Louise, Canada. What a beautiful nature up there. And just loosen this to lower it a little bit. There we go. That's good. Thanks. It's... Whoa, upside down. It's beautiful up there. And I love the mountains. It's just so pretty. But it makes me thankful. And when you read that psalm today, that should make us thankful. And I thought I was done with this series we were kind of doing. And then I'm like, you know, I didn't touch a lot on faith or on thankfulness. Talked a lot about praise and worship and stuff like that. But so I kind of had to, you're going to hear another one on thankfulness anyway. So bear with me a bit. I'm trying to find, where did that go? Sometimes I can't find things when I want to. I marked it too. What was that psalm that you read? 104. 104, that's right. If I can get to it. I don't know where my marker went. I must have stuck it in somewhere else. There it is, right on the place. I couldn't believe it because it was talking a lot about the earth and all the beauty, really, of it, and great stuff there. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And how God does all this stuff for us, but are we very thankful for it? And I've learned some lessons over the years, and hopefully you guys have too in that area. But there was one thing at the end of this psalm that I struggle with, because I'm going to read the last part of it again. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I'll sing praise to my God as long as I live. My meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. All that's great. It's good stuff. But then we come to the last verse and it says, but may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. That concerns me. And I hope that we will take it to heart and to just pray for our friends and neighbors, and that we'll not be afraid to reach out to them and to speak to them about Jesus. This weekend we had some relatives there, and that whole side of the family doesn't really know the Lord. And I was really surprised, because on the son's car, and son and daughter's car, it said Jesus on there, had a sticker on there, and had a couple other stickers too. I can't remember what they said, but I had the chance to say, hey, I really enjoy seeing your stickers on your car. And it was just like, it really opened up for a conversation, and they were getting ready to get in the car to leave, but yet it really opened up a great time with them, and it's like they just came alive, you know. So we always think that people are going to be mad at us or something, but I haven't found that. I've found that most of the time it's our fears and our stuff that hold us back, but if I'll say something, it's like an open door, you know. Not always, but I can take a little teasing, and we don't get persecuted in this country very much, so yeah. But I want to encourage you with that. I want us to be thankful, but I also want us to be sure that we pray for those that don't know the Lord and stuff. That's a side note. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you do for us. And Lord, we do just praise you this morning and thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. You are good. And Lord, you do so much in our lives. Father, the best thing that ever happened to me was coming to know you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us be a thankful people. So be with us as we look in your word today. Just touch our hearts. Help us to remember to be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to start out with reading a couple scriptures. One's out of the Old Testament. It's 1 Chronicles 16:34. And it goes like this. Find it here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We can thank him because he's good. And we can thank him because his love is better love than most of the way we see love in the world. We think, you know, we say we love somebody and then they say something wrong to us and then we don't like it, you know. And all of a sudden we don't respond to them the same way. But his love isn't that way. He loves us forever. It's an enduring love. And I'd like to read from Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. And it goes like this. I'm going to start at 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing. We know God's love. We've experienced his salvation. He helps us. He gets us through times of trouble and all these things. Thankfulness should be overflowing out of us. It should be coming out of us. Not something that's forced. It ought to just be coming out of us because of what he's done for us. And I think a lot of this, what I'm going to talk about today, is just that. It's about stuff he's done for us. It's who he is and all these things. But I ask myself, so how often in a day does someone do something for me? Or perhaps for you? A lot of times in a day. It isn't just usually once, but people do stuff for us all the time. And I don't know about you, I know that I'm not thankful enough, and I know that I don't thank people often enough, and that sort of thing. Do we thank them? How often does God help us out of bad situations, protect us? And then how often do we thank him? Man, all you got to do is go to Spokane someday, and if you come home without thanking God that you didn't end up in a wreck, well, you're lucky. Because it seems like to me every time I go down there, something happens, you know. Somebody pulls out in front of you or whatever and scares the living daylights out of me. And anyway, I see how much I lack in being thankful, and I need to pause at times and recognize how God has blessed me, how he's provided for me, and how he's protected me, and a lot of other things that we could add to that, really. Most of us, I believe, need to express thanks to God much more than we do, and I know that I need to. I've tried to thank and praise God in my prayer life before I ask him for some things, this or that, you know, because I have so much to be thankful for. But I quite a long time ago, it's like I noticed that we'll have a prayer meeting at church or whatever, and or a group of people, whatever. And we got our little list, And a lot of the list seems to comprise of Lord, heal so-and-so because they're sick or injured, or do this for me or do that for somebody. And I'm like, I came away that night, and it didn't leave me alone, but I came away thinking, that's all selfish. It's, I want this. I want you to do this, Lord. I want you to do that. And I'm like, wow, I'm not so sure that's quite the way it should be. So I started to try to make a habit of, before asking for all those things, which is good things, don't get me wrong, they're good things. But I started trying to make a habit of thanking him for some things first, and then asking for the things that I felt that needed to be prayed for. And it seemed like it made a difference in my life anyway. Thankfulness helps us, or changes the way we look at the circumstances in our lives. I have so much to be thankful for. I keep saying that because I want you to get it. But there's things like, so I've got thyroid cancer. So it's not killing me, but I don't know what'll happen in the future. But as I thought about it, when I first got it, because first time somebody tells you you got cancer, it scares you to death, and I'm just like, oh, wow, am I going to be here in a few months or what? And then you finally settle down, and you're like, you know, no matter what happens, God's in control. And I'm going to live for him all the time I'm here on the earth. Just because I get something bad, I'm not going to get mad at God and say, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to go on living the way I've been living, walking with him, trying to my best to follow him, and be thankful for the days that I got. Because we're all going to die sometime. And, you know, like Paul said, to die is to be with the Lord. So, in a way, it's better, even though you hate to lose, you know, not be here with your loved ones and stuff. But I learned some lessons like that, and I think they've really helped me to be encouraged and just to be thankful. Because I think my wife says I complain too much. Telling on you now, Teresa. She tells me I complain too much, and I probably do. But that does not mean that I'm not thankful. Because I feel like we've had a great life. God has blessed us. He's been with us. Whether it's through the bad stuff or the good stuff, he's always there. And so I want to be thankful, and I try to be thankful, even though I might complain too much. But I'll have to admit that she's right as far as, you know, complaining brings discouragement or unhappiness, or can, but thankfulness and praise bring encouragement and joy, because it gets our eyes on the Lord instead on the situation and those kind of things. Thanksgiving helps us see what God has done and is doing for us, because it makes us look and see if we'll try to be thankful. Expressing thanks to God is a part of worship. When we give thanks to God, we're giving him honor and praise for what he has done in our lives and in the lives of others, in the church and in the world. I've always said this, and I really mean it. It's like when we come to church, I've always said, we ought to blow the roof right up off the place for what God's done for us. And yet we don't sing out. It seems like we as people are really what's the right word, are really hesitant and hold back in our sharing or being vocal or, you know, especially when it comes to like maybe praising God or showing him honor by thanking him. And I think last time I was here, we kind of shared a little bit, had some of you spoke out. And I think that's good because it breaks those barriers down. And I like to see people express their thanks. I always wonder what the world's seeing when they look at us Christians, especially if we're not, if it's not showing in our lives or if we're not expressing it. And I hope that we can learn to express it more. So some of the questions, or one of the questions I asked was, why should I give thanks to God? And in one of the scriptures I looked at was 1 Chronicles 16:34, which we already read. God is good. He's kind and he loves us. It's a good reason. So some of these, for those of you that looked at those, took those papers home from the other weeks that we were talking about kind of on these lines, these scriptures I got today, are there's only a couple of them that are on that list. So these are actually pretty much all new except for a couple of them. Luke 17:16 says, basically, because a thankful heart plays a role in maturing us in our faith. So I'm not going to go into reading each one of these. I just want to kind of tell you what they say. 1 Corinthians 15:57, and let's see, talks about he gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he gives us victory over sin, and so we can thank him for that and praise him for that. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We can thank him because of his son Jesus and what he's done for us. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, so we can thank him for answered prayer. 1 Timothy 4:4 basically says, for what God created is, it's beautiful and good, just like we read in Psalms this morning. 1 Chronicles 16:8, we can praise him for what he has done for us. Psalms 111:1-2 talks about, I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. So if you read these scriptures, they all, you know, the different translations bring it out a little bit differently and different, use different words and stuff. So they don't all come out exactly, you know, what you might think. So if it don't sound right, just read a different version and it'll probably bring out it a little clearer maybe for you. But I need to be thanking him and extolling him with all my heart. And, you know, pondered. Because we have the privilege to share Christ and his salvation with others. Good reason to thank him. Tell of all he has done and how wonderful God's love is. We can tell him what, we can tell people about what he's done for me and for you. Nobody can argue with that, you know. They might not believe, but they can't argue with what happened to you when you share it. Ephesians 5:20 says to always give thanks and give thanks for all things. Colossians 2:7, because being thankful keeps our minds and thoughts on Christ. There's lots of others, too. Another question is, how can I show God I am thankful? And in 1 Chronicles 16:7, talks about singing songs of thanksgiving. And part of that's why we're here. I want to encourage you guys, because I think we can make twice as much noise as we're making. And I use noise. It isn't the noise, okay? It's what's happening in our heart. But again, we need to learn how to express it. How can we express it to God? And one of the ways we can do that is through music and singing. By singing songs of thanksgiving. In Psalms 147 through and 7, it talks about by making music and singing also. And in Colossians 3:16, it says the same thing too, music and singing. Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Thanksgiving, praise, and honor is what we should be doing. Psalms 116:17, through worship and through giving. Psalms 119, verse 7, through obedience and service. You know, and what I found with this whole situation this kind of series that's been several weeks long, is, forgot what I was going to say. Just gone. Got it. So we make these big to-dos or big theology or doctrines, and a lot of times we build them on little verses, you know, one or two verses. Look at the number of verses we've already looked at today. It's all about thanksgiving. So why don't we make a big deal about thanksgiving in our lives? I think it would be good. Colossians 4:2, through prayer, says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. When should I give thanks to the Lord? There's scriptures like Psalms 92, proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. So basically we should do it any time, but that verse says morning and evening. Luke 9:16 talks about the loaves and the fishes and how they prayed and gave thanks. And you know the story, then they fed all the people. In 1 Timothy 4:4, talks about not rejecting what God gives us and praying before we eat, you might say. Colossians 3:15 tells us to always be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we should always be thankful and maintain a spirit of constant gratitude. That's hard. That's not easy. Sometimes we get cranky. Sometimes we get moody. Sometimes we're ornery, you know. But if we try, I've found that the Lord will help me. And when I fail, I try to ask his forgiveness and to help me to do better. And I find that he's faithful in doing that. What can I be thankful for? Mark 6:41. It shows about the life's basic needs, like food, clothing, shelter, even life itself. God's providing it. He's providing it all for us. It's not, how do I put this? We should all work, okay? But he provides it for us. Man, we came over here like 50 years ago, And we got a little ranch up in Summit Valley, 160 acres. Got some cows, tried to farm. And I believe that we were successful over the years. And did we ever have a lot of money? No. In fact, it was really, really tough. It was like sometimes we didn't have any money. We'd go out to the mailbox and we'd get some rebate or something from something. I think one time we got some money back from insurance, didn't we, Teresa? And we're like, whoa, right when you need it, you know? God knows our needs and He takes care of us. It's unreal sometimes, or at least it was unreal to me. And so He helps us. Forget where I left off here. But He helps us through life, and He helps us in the good times, and He helps us in the bad times, the times of trouble. In Psalms 13, 5 and 6, He says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me." Wow. If we have no other reason to thank Him, we can thank Him for salvation. That isn't the only thing we should be thanking Him for, but if we are really thinking that we don't have anything to thank Him for, if we feel like He's left us and everything else, we can thank Him for salvation. Psalms 44:7 talks about giving victory over the enemies and put the adversary to shame. Thank Him for helping us be victorious, victorious over sin, victorious over various troubles in our lives or our enemies or our situations. We can thank Him for just being successful, you know. 1 Samuel 18:3 and 4, we can thank Him for friends and friendships. James 1:7, we can thank Him for everything good in our lives and in the world. What about John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Or what about 2 Corinthians 5:17? "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." Thank Him for His gift of salvation, the new life, peace with God. James 1:2-4 shows about thanking Him in adversity again, even though it's hard, because we often grow through hard times. It almost seems like the harder it is, the more we grow. And when we look at overseas and foreign countries, where's the place that Christianity is growing the most? Usually it's in the places that are getting persecuted the worst. And yet Christianity, it's like nothing can stop it. In our country, it's like, where do we see it? Boy, I'll tell you, we need to wake up and turn to the Lord and become a Christian nation like we were founded on again. But it grows in adversity, and that can happen in our own lives. If you're going through something hard, pray about it and thank Him for it anyway. He says He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll be with us through the thick and the thin, you might say. He's there for us always. And if you're going through something hard, start thanking Him. And you might not want to thank Him for that you got to go through it, but thank Him that He's there and He's going to help you through it. All right? So how do I develop an attitude of thanksgiving in myself and my family? 1 Chronicles 29:13, Psalms 108:3, and Philippians 1:3 are all kind of saying the same thing, kind of in a different way, but basically It's how do you develop an attitude of thanksgiving in myself and my family? By doing it. By putting it into action. Not just hearing it and go home and forget it, but start thanking Him. Thank Him before you ask for other things. And I'll tell you, stuff will happen. By putting it into practice, you'll be an example of one who is thankful. Thank Him for the things He's done, which we know. But do we look, as we go through our day, do we look for those things? Do we see them and then thank Him just as we go through our day? Sometimes we want to wait till we feel thankful. Don't wait till we feel thankful. The Word tells us to be thankful. So we need to just do it. We just need to start. If you haven't been doing that, just start doing it. It's not going to happen unless we just do it. So what are the consequences of an unthankful heart? So Exodus, I'm going to give you three scriptures, but I'm going to give you one verse or so, but you need to look at the rest of the verses around it and get it kind of the context of it. But Exodus 1:8 is one. One of them is 2 Chronicles 32:25, and one of them is 2 Timothy 3:2-5. In the first one, it's a story about Joseph and a new king came in, and it's like time goes by, and as time goes by, we can become less thankful about something. I don't know, I guess I should have figured out an example to give you, but I didn't. As time goes by, our memories kind of fade or whatever and about it, and we maybe get less thankful for it. But we shouldn't forget, I don't know that the right word would be what we owe God, but we need to be not forget the things that He's done for us. He's, and I kind of harping on it, I guess, but He's done so much for each and every one of us. And we can kind of let things fade as things time goes on and forget some of these things and just not thank Him. But don't let time rob God of the thanksgiving that He deserves from you. The next scripture, did I give you 2 Chronicles 32:25? I might have, I can't remember. It's kind of about pride. When our pride becomes a barrier, it keeps us from thanksgiving and praise. It acts kind of like a wall. It comes between us and God. Pride's a powerful thing. Don't let pride keep you from thanking Him. We think sometimes we do this stuff on our own. We're nothing. There ain't nothing we can do. I need God's strength to live through each day. It's not what I did. I did this on my own or whatever. I'll tell you right now, I can't stand up here and preach on my own. It don't work. It comes out really bad. Hard enough to do when the Lord works through you and does something. But anyway, the next one's 2 Timothy 3:2-5. And I just say a consistent, ungrateful attitude will eventually turn you into a bitter and mean-spirited person. So today we're going to have communion. And in those scriptures about communion, it talks about remembering, okay? So I think with what we talked about today, this would be a good time for us to remember what Jesus has done for us in salvation and maybe other things. So I'm going to put you on the spot like I did last time, and I'd like to have you express something of thanksgiving. And it'd be really appropriate to remember and maybe mention something about our salvation experience, what God did in our life. And Mike, maybe you could grab somebody and start passing out the elements. But I'm going to turn my mic off, and I guess we can go ahead and get another one. Is this one on? Well, yep, it's on. Okay. So who's going to be brave and be first?
I'm just really grateful that I don't like this mic. It's too loud. Can I speak without it? Are you recording? I'm just really grateful for who God is in my life with the time that I'm walking in. There's a Hebrew word called yada, to know. And it's from the beginning of Genesis to Revelation. And when I learned the word yada, to know, it's knowing us mentally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And when God says that he knows you, he knows me, he walks with me. And with my salvation, when I was 17, I had a life and death experience when I got to know Christ, when he was before me. And he said, choose today that you will serve. And I said, you. And ever since then, he has shown yada to me. And also had brought me a partner for 9 years that I'm very grateful for, that we had yada together with Christ and moving forward, that he has blessed so many people who knew him and showed the example through his life, through Christ.
That worked out pretty good. Well, in my life, my mother and my brother and his wife decided to move out of Kansas. That's where I'm from originally. And during that trip, my mother and I were in the back seat, and my place, I was an 8-year-old child, was on the floorboard. It's on. And I ended up being gassed. Going over Rabbit Ears Pass in Colorado, it knocked part of the muffler off, and where I was sleeping was the floorboard in the back seat. And I didn't know what was going on. I was a kid. What my family told me later on was that they saw me get up, get on my knees, and facing the back of the station wagon, which was clear full of everything because we were moving, and talk to a box. And as soon as I got done talking to the box, I collapsed. And that happened to be just as we pulled into Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and there was a doctor getting fuel at the same time. That's what my family tells me I did. That's not what I saw. I remember exactly what I saw. I got up on my knees, and the back of the station wing was completely empty, and there was a person sitting Indian style in the middle of the back of that car, and he held hands with me. That's why I was hugging a box, and telling me that I was going to be okay, that he wasn't done with me yet. And sure enough, you know, it was shortly after that I guess I collapsed. And I woke up in a little tiny, you know, doctor's office right next, about 4 blocks from the gas station, because they had a you know, there was a doctor that was actually getting fuel. And ever since then, like you said, when the ghost grabs you, you cannot, it never lets go. And for me, that was when I was 8 years old. And yeah, I've had, you know, trials, all of us have, but no matter what it is, it always brings me back. And it's always been there, and it just doesn't let go. And I'm happy to be part of that.
That's why, maybe I better use this too.
That's why he wants us to take communion together, is to remember this stuff. To remember when we accepted the Lord, because time goes by, and I guess I'll ask us this question, is why when we first accept the Lord, we're all excited, and then as time goes on, we start settling down. I'm like, we ought to be excited about the Lord forever, you know? And if we're growing in the Lord, we should be you know, grow in all a lot of different ways. But when we take communion together, it's like saying, I remember, Lord, when you did this for me. I remember when I came to Christ. I remember that you touched me with your Holy Spirit and drew me to yourself and stuff. Someone else. Everybody gets really quiet when we do this. I wonder why.
I just know that this week especially, and yesterday, we had a phenomenal team. We've had a phenomenal team just coming in, and it's been a series of little nods, it feels like, from God, from having the exact right amount of brick plastic to put on this barrier to just the perfect little amounts and just the right people at just the right time. And we keep saying, okay, God. And, you know, we don't know what tomorrow looks like. Like, literally, we have no idea if we're going to have 5 kids or 100 kids. And I keep telling people, we're walking on water tomorrow, and it could be rough seas, but we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus and hopefully help at least 5 kids find him.
That's right. If one kid come to the Lord, it's worth it all, whatever you do. I think this is great, the way you guys have fixed this all up. It's really cool. It's really nice. Oh, you're raising your hand? Oh, he has his hand up. I wasn't sure. I know you got your hands full with kids.
I'm thankful for camp, and there was this one time when at 9 and 10 camp, I was a programmer, and I kind of was just on the deck, and there's this porch, and I was pretty much up there. And one of my other programmers was, I think her name is Casey, and one of the campers just came up, ran to the deck, went right to her, and said, I'm saved. And then Casey was like, yes, that's great. And then and she had a hug, and it was very cool to see how the joy of the Lord works.
Cool. Anybody else?
Somebody right behind you. Try to make it short. This last week was a little bit of a rough road for us. One of Denny's cousins passed away, and then on the same day I got a call that my older sister's dementia was getting worse, and they were going to have to put her in a different place to be taken care of because my niece just couldn't manage it anymore. So it was really sad, and so we made the decision that we would go over to Bellevue as soon as we could to see my sister and to kind of support my family a little bit. But when we go over there, there's nowhere to stay. They all live in apartments or whatever, you know, and so there's just nowhere to stay. So I looked at hotels, but, you know, they're pretty expensive, especially if you're only going to be there a couple nights. And so then we started looking for camping spots, and there were none for our trailer. And so then we had a couple other ideas, and we just felt like we were hitting a block wall. So last night we're on our way to Addy to go to dinner with his cousins, and we got a phone call from a good friend of ours who Denny rides horses with all the time. And he said, Cindy and I were talking about your predicament, trying to go to the coast, when all of a sudden Cindy looked at me and she says, why can't they stay in your mom's house? There's nobody there. And it's on Mercer Island, and it's a block from the lake. But it's not far from where my sisters live in Bellevue. And, you know, it was just at that time when they said that, that we looked at each other, and I know both of us were thinking, you know, God is always there. And I'm just so thankful for this, for the times of our life when we feel like we've reached a dead end and we can't go any further. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful for that call last night from his friend who listened, his wife listened to the Lord, you know. And it was just a pretty neat time. We haven't got all the plans made into cement yet, but I'm just really thankful for that.
I'm sitting here, I forgot a little bit, but when I first started coming to church here, Margie was my angel. She took me under her wing, and we sat together every time at church, and we were both hairdressers, so we had a lot in common. We always talked and laughed about that. And since she's been gone down to Spokane, I've been down there to see her a few times. And the other day, Anna and I went to Spokane because we had some things we were going to do, and we went to see her. And it was so neat. And she knew me, and we talked and laughed, and then the next day she dies. I mean, what a blessing that I got to see her and talk to her.
And I know this is more on the physical side, but I cannot tell you how God has blessed in this preparation of this vacation Bible school, when we just didn't know if it could come together at all because Sonia was working, everybody's working, and Ellie was sick, and then all of a sudden, yesterday, Ross and Dina came. Now, he was just going to be here while she frosted some cupcakes. And he says, is there anything I can do? And he washed 100 bottles and dried them and got them ready because we are going to have 100 kids come this week. And we wanted to have clean bottles. Then not only that, but Jeff and Samantha came in. I said, oh, good to see you again. And they said, what can we do? And what, man, the blessings they were. All the hauling. Jeff just kept running back home to get one more thing, either to haul chairs, I mean, haul refrigerator, haul cords. Samantha was giving all kinds of help and advice that just we're going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we were going to put the refrigerator that we had been blessed with in the kitchen. And when Sonia came, she says, let me measure that again because you have to open the doors. It really was not going to work in there well. So then all of our plans changed again, but God just really blessed. And we got switched stuff. I just, minute by minute, it was just wild here. And Maggie, if you ever want to go shopping to have somebody that knows how to pack a cooler in every inch, and I held 2 watermelons on my lap, and little Samuel, what were you holding, Samuel? Weren't you holding the Kleenex? No, napkins. He was holding the napkins on his lap. I mean, there was not an inch in that car that was not available to that. For anything else. I also wanted to mention that Ross had cataract surgery on Friday, and then he came and stood for ever how many hours and washed those bottles and did anything else that I could think of. And Dina was the same way. She changed calendars. She set up clothing for the food pantry. I'm sorry, for the clothing closet. they just work so hard, and they're brand new, and so are you guys. And yet, you've just come in with such willing hearts to just give. That just doesn't happen by accident. And Jennifer, what a blessing to have you here today. What a blessing. And I know you are so thankful. You had told me you were so thankful, especially for Bob and Wendy coming. And we have pictures of what they have done. And she was just overwhelmed, all the help that this church has given her, because we love Jimmy and her. Thank you.
So we need to pray for her. Let's pray for her right now. Lord, we thank you for Dina, Lord, and I pray that you would just help her as she goes through this surgery. Lord, we ask that you'd guide the doctor's hands, and that, Lord, you would just bring her to complete recovery, Lord. You'd take care of any problems that are there, Lord, that you would just take them away. Lord, you are the great healer. Lord, yes, we have doctors, and sometimes you use them. Lord, we don't care if you use the doctors or you do it by touching her with your hand. Lord, just heal her in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for, Lord, this VBS. Lord, so many have worked so hard, and Lord, this group of people are a very giving people, and they just work so hard at things. Would you just bless it, Lord? Bring them an abundance of children, Lord. And Lord, might many come to know you and find you, Lord. So just bless this next week, we ask, in Jesus' name. All right, well, I thank you all for participating. It's getting kind of late, so we better move on here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about the Lord's Supper. And so it just talks about in verse, starting at 20, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat the bread together. Lord, we thank you for what this bread represents. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation you've provided for us. Help us to never forget, Lord. Bring it to remembrance, and help us as we take this, Lord, that you'd help us examine ourselves. And Lord, if there's things we need to ask your forgiveness for, I pray that you'd just bring them to each one of our minds. Lord, we want to be clean before you, and we want you to work and move in our lives and answer our prayer and all these things, Lord, so just help us. But we do remember that you did die on the cross for us. You shed your blood for us, Lord. It says in the same way, after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink the cup together. Again, Lord, we thank you and praise you for all that you've done. Lord, there's no one like you. You're the Savior of the world. You're my God and my Savior. Lord, help us to live and give us the strength to live for you and walk with you, Lord, and to share who you are. And this week, Lord, as we think again about VBS, that, Lord, your word would go out loud and clear, Lord, and that these young children would understand, that your Holy Spirit would just touch their hearts, and that you would draw them to yourself, Lord. Thank you for this time we've had together. Lord, be with us as we sing this last song to you. We just praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. I assumed we were having a song.